So over the last several weeks, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines and how we're going to move into the maturity of what Paul calls us the renewing mind out of Romans 12. And how do we get there? How do we make that walk effective? And we've talked about prayer being the base of it. And then we talked about how study and meditation, contemplation all come into play on that on the inward side of us. But now we've shifted a little bit into the outward sign of our disciplines, our concepts of moving forward. And with that comes, what was the first one? What was last week's for those of you who were here? Oh, come on.
Clean your closet.
Clean your closet, exactly. Simplicity. The fact that when we are so hooked into being complicated about everything, we actually lose our ability to create that space for God in our lives. And so the challenge was to start out with something simple by simply cleaning material things out of our lives that we don't use. Go into that closet, look for those boxes. But then we started challenging you a little bit more, didn't we? Well, starting to take that spiritual inventory, but why do you need that stuff? Or why does that piece of whatever material over here hold on and you can't just cast it away? Why you can't separate yourself from it? As the rich young leader had to turn his back to Jesus and walked away in sadness because he knew that he could not have a relationship with God because he was too tied to those material things in his life. And asking that serious question, what would be that material or that worldly, fleshly thing that would make you turn your back on God? So today, we move to another discipline that is the outward. And it doesn't sound like the outward side of it, because what the discipline is seeking solitude. Creating a place to have a discipline of solitude in our lives. And as I started the study this week, to really pop into it and get into it, I thought I was going to discover something else, but as usual, God had a different message that he brought to my heart as I studied and as I looked at things. And it kind of threw me for a loop, because while here I always thought of, you know, in Luke where many times we hear, and Jesus went away and prayed alone, sought solitude and prayed, that we're to go that direction. But then I came across our verses today, Exodus 34, 1 through 5, if you want to turn to that as I finish up here before we get into it. And then Matthew 6, 6. There's a whole lot more to why we go to solitude and what it means to be in solitude. Because truly, solitude is not from God, but solitude is to seek and be with God. And so that's where we're going to be today. So if you could please stand with me as we enter Scripture. Exodus 34. So you got Genesis, Exodus, so start at the beginning, second book. Chapter 34, verses 1 through 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut for yourselves two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Well, holy God, we seek your wisdom and knowledge that you present in your word today. Not just that it may dwell within us, but that it may change us, move us forward on the path that you've set us. Because wisdom generates action. Knowledge, Lord. That is what we ask in this moment, that we may take knowledge and move it to wisdom, that it becomes applicable, that it becomes something that we can use to do your good in this world. Lord, we pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your Holy Spirit's touching our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. So creating space with God by moving away into solitude sounds kind of weird. But nonetheless, we have this issue of having to remove ourselves from the world so that we may hear God clearly, and that's where we begin. So a little bit about the passage itself. On the technical side, we have Moses speaking to God. Well, I take that back. It goes the other way around. God is speaking to Moses. See, it sounds weird to our ears, doesn't it? That God's actually speaking to people. But that's what he's doing here. And there's two main themes that we're looking at here. The first main theme is a theological theme. It's one of reconciliation. We'll get into this as we go. But the second theme is an encounter with God in a very specific, directed way. And this is where we start generating how we enter into solitude and why we move that direction and setting the principles for why we do what we do with it. So the first thing that we need to look at is that God gives us a reason to seek solitude. For those of you who are the line fillers out in the forums, that's where we're at right now. God gives us a reason to seek solitude. In verse 1, we see it should be by God's call that we seek solitude. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke." See, God is decreeing why he's calling Moses to do what's coming up. All right, he hasn't said, "Go, seek solitude, come find me." He's giving the reason first and foremost. Too often when we seek solitude, we do it for our reasons. The world's too hectic. I've got too much going on. But maybe your life's hectic because God wants you in that place. But see, God calls us. He gives us the reason for it. Moses wasn't looking to go to the mountain. He was told to go to the mountain. Because God wants to bring us along. Now, inside this verse right here is the theological stance of reconciliation. See, God had made the tablets, had wrote on the tablets, and then delivered them to Moses, the first set. But the commandments had been broken by the Israelites. They'd been wiped away. Everything that God had made human had disregarded and broken down. And so now God, in his mercy and his grace, extend out a second opportunity for humankind. "Cut for yourselves two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke." Because what God, or what human had undone, God was going to make sure was back in place. And so here is Moses being asked to cut two tablets. Why? Because humans had the responsibility of why things broke down in the first place. Because they didn't live in obedience. They didn't follow what God had commanded. But out of mercy, God is saying, "We're going to work on this together. You, this time, Moses, are going to cut the tablets. And you are going to bring them up to us, or up to me. And then I will write on them." So now it's a covenant almost between again, much like the first one was. But God is calling this into place. The second thing that we need to look at when we seek solitude is that we should have an understanding of why we move that direction, why it is important that we're going to solitude and not seeking study or not seeking companionship or fellowship instead. So in here, in verse 1, we see that because God had a specific task at hand that needed to be done with only him, there's a sense of reverence, greatness in God that gets brought into this. That is why he can only... Now, we need to remember, we need to do a little bit of historical look at this, that the reason that only Moses or one of the priests could go behind the curtain or the veil was because when you were in the face of God, only the one that he called could stand it. Otherwise, you would surely die. And so God is preparing this because he understands that there needs to be a oneness. There needs to be a specificness wrapped in it. Because God is God. and he is great. And so he's going to set some conditions here in a little bit. The second thing that we get from this when we talk about solitude is that God will tell us what to bring and where to go. In verse 1, an indication of what to bring, he tells Moses, bring two tablets that you've cut for this. Make them just like the first two. So when we seek solitude, we need to understand what God's calling us towards, but also what he is asking us to bring along for it. This takes prayer. It takes time to sit down and really wrap into it. In verse 2, God tells us that, or he'll give direction of where we need to be. Be ready by the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to be on the top of the mountain. Now he says the top of the mountain, to come up to the top, but he doesn't say the very top, he just says come to the top. One of the things that was pulled out as I was going through the study was that God would have specifically said if you come to the, you know, if you wanted them to come to the very tip, they probably would have said that. But that was where God dwelt, was at the tip of the mountain. That's where the cloud sat. And so Moses was being called into the presence of God, but not to God's place where he dwelt. So there's this separation. That separation that's caused because we're fleshly and we can't dwell where God himself dwells. But so God calls Moses to come up, to come to a place where you can be in my presence so that we can commune, that we can get this done, we can work this issue together. And so there we sit, knowing that God will tell us what to bring as we go into solitude, as we seek him in solitude, but also where we need to go when we do it. So too often we sit there and we retreat to where we want to go. I'm going to go over here because I like it here. I'm going to go there. But God may call you to a totally different place, and we need to be in prayer about what that means, where solitude for us is. Because if we go to where we want to go, we might just do what we want to do. Instead of going where God commands us to go so that he may do what he wants to do with us. So we need to be sure that we're getting the idea of where to go through God. Finally, God will set the conditions for how we are to seek solitude, to the extent of the solitude. Now here we get a very clear idea that God wants it completely vacant. Verse 3, no one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Mount Sinai is a big place. It's not exactly a small place. And here Moses has to ensure, because God has decreed it, that there's no one else on the mountain, that no one else can be seen on the mountain. Now, it's not just the side of the mountain that Moses decides to stand on. No, this is the whole mountain. Complete solitude from all. He doesn't even stop there. Let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flock or herd graze opposite that mountain. So not even on the mountain itself, but the areas around it. No flocks, no animals grazing. God wants complete solitude so that he can impress on Moses the importance of the moment that he's stepping into. So as we seek solitude in our daily journey or walk with Christ, we have to understand that when God decrees what solitude is, that is where we're at. Solitude does not mean evacuating up and into Wisconsin Dells at a water park. Granted, it may take you from the problems that you're having, but that's not solitude. I know for a fact that I could not concentrate if I knew there was a really good coffee shop just down the street from me. Each one of us has our own little things that God's going to say, you cannot seek solitude there because there's just too much. See, when God calls us to solitary meeting with him, it isn't to relieve us from the pressures of life necessarily, but it's to impact our life. It's to make sure that his will, his decree, his plan is being heard and understood clearly and not being affected by outside sources, outside issues, outside wants. And so we meet a place where our heart has no choice but to have simplicity inside of it, where our mind is cleared and now we have it. See, I have no doubt that Moses, being a shepherd, had to be told that, listen, not only people, but no flocks, no sheep, none of that stuff, because I know that when you see something going on, you're going to be drawn away from what I want to present to you. Moses was a holy man. Remember, this is the Moses who's walking through, you know, his pastures and sees the burning bush, answers God's call, travels into Egypt, helps free the people, parts the Red Sea, leading them through the desert for 40 years at this point. This is not a man who you would think would easily be distracted. But God says, no distractions. For the ground that we're going to do this on needs to be my ground. The heart that you bring to us needs to be my heart. He also set the time. Too often we want to go when we want to go. Here he's directed, be ready by the morning. Could you imagine having to know that you're going to have to carve two stones? I can't imagine how hard it'd be to carve two stones of, you know, of shale or something of that extent to prepare in a day. But say that God's being really generous and it's the morning when he tells Moses this. So not only this, but you need to prepare yourself to come up and meet with me on top of the mountain. And you need to be there by morning. I'm sorry, who here has climbed a mountain in their life? Few people. I've done some small ones in the Sierras, and those were only like 1,800 feet. And by the time I got to the top of it, I mean, that was like 2.5-hour journey. Moses isn't exactly a young man in this. So not only is he preparing himself to bring what God has required him to bring, but he is preparing himself to make a journey up a mountain by morning. And the question, what? I still didn't hear you, Eli.
He has to bring the stones.
Yeah, and he has to, yeah, and on top of it, he has to carry two stones with them. Yeah, on top of it, he's carrying two stones with him. Imagine this. So food, water, whatever you think you're going to need for the journey, two stones. Now, one of the commentaries I was reading said they're probably shale stones, so they're thin, but that makes them fragile, which means you have to care for them as you come up this mountain. So it's not just a simple, you know, granite stone that you could sit there and pound all day long and not break. All night you prepare, and now you're moving up this mountain to meet the time that God's called you. Does this sound easy to anyone? So when God calls you to solitude now, why would we always think, or why would we even tend to think, that there's a simplicity inside of it? No, you need to prepare yourself for it. You need to prepare for the journey so that you can do what God has called you to do when you get there. Solitude isn't an easy thing to enter into. It takes the heart, the mind, but also the body to make the journey. And so Moses meets the conditions. He carves the stones and prepares them. He makes the trek up the mountain and meets God where God has called him to meet. And we see this in verse 4. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. This is where I got rocked, like I said. The concept that God is calling him into solitude. It wasn't a personal choice to seek it. And too often I feel that we seek solitude because of our choices or not wanting to deal with what's going on at the time or at the moment. So we seek solitude to remove those things that are stressing us. And while I believe that Jesus does that occasionally, where he comes in and he says, there's great crowds and I need to be with my Father. And then he moves himself to solitude for prayer for a short time and comes back to his ministry. There's a strong message in that. But too often, we want to control why we enter into solitude instead of seeking why God is calling us into solitude. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So Moses hears the call, prepares himself, moves forward, climbs the mountain, does what God has called him to do, has met him in a place that he has declared to meet alone, and God is faithful. God shows up. And Moses is in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord proclaimed his name. See, when we go into solitude, it is for God's will. It is for his decree so that we may understand his plan, what his call for us is. And we need to remember that we shouldn't take solitude on our account, but on his account. We should seek it at his heart and not with our heart. If we look at Matthew 6:6, we see a modern day, say modern day, 2,000 years old now roughly. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. We see a lot of the same alignment. See, this is Jesus making this command. So it's much like God saying, Moses, prepare yourself and bring 2 stone tablets up onto Mount Sinai. Jesus here, God, is speaking. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And he's giving a reason to pray. So do this when you go to pray, so that you may do so in secret. There's a reason behind that is because we want to make sure, much like God wanted to make sure Moses understood where these tablets were coming from, how important these tablets were. Jesus wants us to understand how important prayer is. And having that time with God is. But also, the next extent of this is pray in secret so that you can be proven that God answers your prayer. See, a lot of times we go and we pray in public and a need is answered, and that is God answering a need in that prayer, but it's through community. But every once in a while, we need to be reminded that God hears us even when we don't voice the prayer or when others don't know the prayer, because he answers it faithfully and truly even then. So he calls you into solitude for prayer so that you can truly hear, see, experience his answer to those prayers. It's also not to be boisterous and make yourself held up on pride. See, when you pray in secret, only you and God know what that conversation is. And there's no playing out of pride or boasting up of yourself in that prayer. It's simply between you and the living God. Much as when Moses came up to the mountain, it was only with God, was the conversation only between him and God. We see a not so much a time, but a where to go in and close your door, to go into your room. Pray. And why? And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the reason for it. To come back into his glory, to meet his decree and be rewarded by it. Because he sets the reason for solitude. So some spiritual growth challenges. Luke 5, 15 through 16. Give everybody a second to get there. But now, even more to report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is kind of that side that we were talking about earlier, where Jesus would seek desolate places to pray, to spend time specifically with his Father, to be in his presence wholly and fully with no other distractions. We see this in Exodus, where Moses is called to the top of the mountain with no other distractions. Jesus instructs us to close a door so there's no other distractions. But at the heart of it is that you are seeking God at that time of solitude. And we need to remember this. So there's a few questions that we need to ask ourselves. Who or what is the reason that we're seeking solitude? Is God calling us to be, you know, to be solitary with him, to be alone with him? Is there a moment that is causing us to step back and say, I need to, for the sake of honoring God and what's going on, a chance to be with only God on this and hear his wisdom, his knowledge? Or are we seeking solitude because we're afraid of what's going on in our lives? Are we seeking solitude because there's just too much frustration that we no longer can deal with it? There's a slight difference in that, because in the one sense, we are seeking God's wisdom in the situation. We're seeking God's wisdom on the world or whatever he's calling us to hear. On the other one, we're driving the reason why we're seeking solitude. We're retreating from where God has placed us. So we need to be very clear of why we're moving to solitary confinement, in a sense. Second question is, what am I trying to learn as we go into this? Are we seeking God's, or are we just trying to be quiet so we can hear other things? Only you can answer that question. That's a heart question right here. Why do you go into it? Is it to quiet everything else so you can just be, or are you going actively seeking God's wisdom in it? And finally, where should I go? I think this is probably one of the least looked at questions, because too often it's like, well, I'll go over here because it's quiet and I know I won't have those issues, or I'll be here because I know it's quiet and I won't have these issues. But what's there that draws you there? You know, do you have a computer that you're going to suddenly end up spending more time on Facebook than you will in the Word, spending time with God? Are you going to go to the coffee house and have more conversation with people, even though it's not in the situation, than spending time in conversation with God? Do you retreat to the North Woods because it's quiet and you love to be there, and then you end up hunting or fishing or doing something else instead of spending time with God? Remember, when we talk about a spiritual discipline, we are doing things intentionally to create space to be with God. And so when we pick up this discipline of solitude, it's not to do other things or to remove us from the world we're in, but it is to seek God. It is to spend time with God. We need to hold that dear. We need to be precious with it. We need to care for it, mature it, grow it. We need to ask these questions as we move into it. Because if we don't, when we get to where God has called us, or we go to examine the reason that God has called us to be with him and only with him, we will have set up roadblocks that will already start affecting our ability to do so. If I go to a place that doesn't truly grant me solitude, remember, solitude isn't just aloneness, but it's an ability to not have other things wrapping into that moment. If I don't secure that at the beginning, then as I enter into that place where God may have called me, but I take other things with me, computers, cell phones, whatever it may be. If we bring that into the place of solitude, remember, the only thing that Moses was asked to bring were two tablets that God was going to specifically communicate to him on. Those were the only things he was instructed to bring. So when we move into solitude, what are you instructed to bring? What are you being called to bring? Your Bible, so that you can have that conversation. Remember, we've talked a lot about how Scripture is that communication between us and God. As much as our prayer, this living word that affects us day in and day out, gives us good, solid wisdom to live our lives by, needs to be part of it. This is our tablet. And God has written His word on it so that we may carry it with us to the ends of time, so we may know what God is asking us, talking to us about. And so we need to be in it. But when we go into solitary places, we need to take His word with us. But what else? I would argue nothing else. Leave your phones, leave your computers. If you're going to be gone for a long time and you don't have that chance, make sure that you turn it off for set amounts of time. Leave it out in the car. Do something with it that it's not there when you're in the Word, when you're communicating with God. Because in our world, it'll be quick as quick that phones will start beaming and emails will start popping up. We need to make sure we aren't having those side effects and those issues coming into our time with God. Remember, He's calling us to be solitary with Him. Jesus in Luke doesn't go to be by Himself. He goes to pray, to be with God in prayer. So when we say solitude, it's not aloneness. It's aloneness with God. For those of us who are married, how great is it when a husband and wife can just be together? No kids. Amen, right? Just a minute. Not that we don't love our kids or that we don't want to be with them, but just to have that solitude as a couple, to remember all those great things that we used to do when we dated and things of that nature. Imagine how great it will be when you are in solitude with your Father and He is spending time with you and just you. And you are spending time with just Him. How beautiful is that picture? So as you go out and you feel this call that there's just so much going on here and I feel God's moving me this direction, prepare yourself for that journey. Prepare yourself for where God's moving you into quietness with Him. Set the phones aside. Get babysitters. I guarantee you cannot have solitude time with three-year-olds running around downstairs. You will not last very long. But if you're going to make the commitment to be solitude with God, then make the commitment to be solitude with God so you can hear His voice, only His voice, speaking to you. Challenge yourselves. Start with small amounts of time, devotionals, where you set aside 15 minutes. It's the basic concept, right? A 15-minute devotional time. Start small. If you don't get to it every day, don't beat yourself up about it. It's a growing process. But eventually, you're going to get to the point where you are going to seek hours, even days, to be out in the desert with nothing but God, to spend time with nothing but God's voice in your ear, to look at His beauty and to experience His presence with no other distractions. So we start small, and out of that smallness, you will have a want as you see the power and the strength in it, and it will grow itself into something much bigger. And the beauty is as it does that, you'll see more and more blessings in that time. So solitude isn't a call to be alone, but it's to be alone with God. And it's not necessarily to remove us from the stresses, but to help us focus on God, even in the midst of those stresses. Because Moses didn't have the opportunity just to stay up there. He had to eventually go back down the mountain. So it was for a moment to get clear on what God wanted done, what God had to say about a situation. Same thing with Matthew 6:6, to go in and shut the door isn't to go in there and retreat and never come back out, but it's to pray and get God's guidance to go back into the world. In Luke, we see Jesus, when he's being inundated with people, taking a moment to step out, to pray to God, but then right away we see him re-engaging in ministry. So solitude isn't forever. It's for a season, for a moment. And so the danger with solitude is sometimes we seek emotional solitude. And this is what I want to give out as a warning as we close up here today. Sometimes it feels really good to just push everything away and not have to deal with it. To sit there and say, no more. I'm done. But nowhere in the Bible do we ever see that presented. Everywhere that people move away from a stressor, they go and they handle the situation in prayer with God and get his guidance and wisdom, but then they move back into it. So if you're in a point where you need solitude so that you can truly hear God, then take that moment. But understand that God isn't going to take that moment with you to prepare you to do nothing, but he's going to prepare you to move forward. We are a bold people called to be light in this world. We have no choice but to follow up on it. So when we move into solitude, if we need a moment to regroup, or you need a moment to reestablish your footing on Christ, take that moment knowing that it's preparing you to do what his will and his plan is. When we do that, when we come back to that situation, we will have his wisdom because we've heard his words. We've been in the presence of God. And so solitude as a discipline isn't a lifestyle as much as it's a way to prepare for what you need to do and move forward. Let us pray. Well, Holy Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've shared with us through the words of the Bible, the life of your Son, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we seek to be in solitude with you, that we may hear your word, understand it, gain wisdom, be able to practice discernment through it. But Lord God, we ask that in that moment, you do not let our flesh grow weak, but instead, through your Holy Spirit, give us strength to go back out and to do what you've called us to do, to share the wisdom that you grant us with at that moment. Lord God, we seek you in quietness and in solitude only to gain your wisdom and your knowledge to prepare us for the next step of the journey that you've set us on. Lord, Jesus sought solitude so that he may commune with you and understand all that you have called him to do here on earth. Jesus calls us to go and pray in secret that we may know that you answer our prayers. Lord, we just ask that our moments of solitude with you are done with the right heart, not for our reasons, but for your reasons, with a sacrifice onto you, and not a sacrifice to those things going on around us. Lord, we pray this through Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.